It's officially 2026, and my New Year's resolution is to prioritize high-quality pieces in my wardrobe. Thanks to Quince, I can already check that off my list. I'm already planning outfits around my new cotton Oxford shirt. It's such a classic, timeless piece that I know I'll be rewearing all year. Need more than just a wardrobe update? Quince has tons of options for the home as well. Maya has had the same dinnerware since college and has finally decided it's time for a refresh, starting with a gorgeous set of ceramic cake plates. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/rehash for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/rehash to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rehash.
We'll get into these conversations a bit later, but like when people bring up like, oh, that our media is so hypersexual, they often reference like the CW and how these shows always include sex in teenage content. And it's like, yes, but it's never sex. Like no. In Gossip Girl, people say Gossip Girl's hypersexual, and it's like, okay, but in Gossip Girl, when they're having sex, they're never actually having sex. We don't see them do anything.
No.
They like neck a bit, and they're wearing these strange lingerie, like granny lingerie. And it's just, it's not what sex looks like. It's not really sexy. It's not sexual. And the same goes for many CW shows. Like Riverdale doesn't have sex in it.
Well, no, like there's strong limitations of what you can show, and it's like, well, Riverdale also came a little later, but I think, like, Gossip Girl especially, it was, like, the characters have sex and, like, are often very much, like, shamed for it. Like, there's also almost always, like, some kind of, like, consequence.
Yeah, punishment.
To that as well. And, like, Gossip Girl was also, like, meant to kind of cash in on anxieties around all of that kind of stuff. Like, Serena also did cocaine at like 15, and like they were like getting drunk at the bar. Like there's so many other things going on. I don't know.
When you're a rich kid,
yes.
Premises.
Well, yes. I do think Twilight sort of becoming more of like a sexy thing, I think, kind of signaled the turn that would take place in the 2010s and kind of brought us into the era that we were teenagers in, and which I feel like had such like a vastly different approach to sex than like the previous decade. Like I feel like the change, I mean, we were in pretty like liberal circles, but I feel like at least for us, like the change, it went from like slut shaming to like don't slut shame.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this endlessly on the podcast, but like, and we'll get into it with my section, but yeah, there was a sexual revolution that happened, and it was in the span of like 1 or 2 years, and I found it very beneficial in many ways, like a very necessary reaction to the 2000s, which was like a horrible time to be a girl.
No, exactly. I think it's interesting to see that like by the mid-2010s, like sex had sort of been reclaimed as like this very like liberating thing, you know, through stuff like dating apps, through movements like slut walk and like pop feminism, like really taking on like sex as a means of like portraying liberation. But then by the second half of the 2010s, we sort of see the turn that leads us to where we are now, which is where I think our heightened consciousness around not only sex, but like I think how our morals around sex previously had, like, how that had impacted how we talked about sexual assault and rape and all of that stuff. Like, for example, the slut walk, which was in response to a Toronto police officer telling women if they didn't want to get raped, they shouldn't dress like sluts. I think that this sort of, like, recognition of a double standard and recognition of victim blaming from, like, the sex positive part of things then, like, led to us having these deeper conversations that, like, led...
It was the natural, inevitable next step.
Yeah, exactly. Along with, like, Me Too and just, like, the fact that all of these allegations about these men came to surface at the same time. And so we've seen throughout the years how sex has been politicized and used as a way for young people to rebel, which, leading into today, makes me wonder, do we think that a wider culture of sex positivity married with, like, the negative political implications of sex that came in the 2010s made sex feel redundant as a form of teenage rebellion?
Yeah, I think once you have something, it doesn't feel exciting anymore. Like the excitement of the 50s and 60s was because these people were the products of the silent generation who weren't able to have access to sex. And so it was like exciting and new, and it was, you're going against your parents, maybe even in the 2000s, like as late as the 2000s, and the amount of like shaming that happened around sex, or like the fear of sex. Of course, like you're saying, it's titillating. You want it because you can't have it, which teens always want what they can't have. Like they want to do what older generations don't want them to do. So of course, if older generations are like, okay, it's good to have sex, just practice safe sex, kids are going to be like, ew. You know, I think that that's definitely one part of it for sure.